Attorney General Josh Stein, great to speak with you again.
Thanks, Jeremy. Pleasure to be with you.
Well, I want to start with the actions of the North Carolina legislature during the surprise special session this week. Now, you were a member of a three-member committee that was originally tasked with writing captions for the six constitutional amendments that are going to be on the ballots for voters in November. You're a Democrat. Secretary of State Elaine Marshall, she's another member. She's a Democrat. And Paul Koble, a Republican, is the third member. So now Republicans have taken that job away from your committee. And their reasoning was that the Democrats, so in other words, you, couldn't be trusted to not politicize the amendments. What's your response to that charge?
It's exceedingly disappointing that they are trying to obfuscate what these constitutional amendments are about. The commission on which I serve, that you're correct, it's with the secretary and Paul Koble. Our job was to come up with a caption that accurately, fairly, and clearly describes what the constitutional amendment is about, as well as a description in longer form of what the constitutional amendment achieved that is available and understandable to the public. And we will continue to do the work. We will do that second part of our job. So anybody who wants to understand what the constitutional amendments do, they will be able to access our explanations. But I think that the public would have been served by having a clear explanation of what the issues concerned. And the fact that the legislature has embarked in this partisan exercise, I find frankly disappointing.
And you're soliciting public feedback through today, I believe. Is that right?
Correct. That's right. The Secretary of State, Elaine Marshall, has been doing a stand-up job. She's the chair of this commission, and she created a system by which the public could share its ideas. And we and our staffs will go through their comments to help us identify language and phrases to properly explain what the amendments do.
Was there any attempt to politicize the amendment writing on the part of you or Secretary of State Marshall?
No, that's a joke. That's an absolute joke. And it's an insult. We were given a charge, a legal duty, and we would have carried it out with professionalism. That's how we do our work.
Is that basically the end of the story? Is there going to be any kind of challenge to this new law, do you think?
I can't say.
Okay, gotcha. Well, switching gears a little bit to election security, that's what we talked about last time we spoke.
Yeah,
President Trump recently took Russian President Vladimir Putin's side in that infamous summit in Helsinki, basically against our own intelligence agency's conclusions that Russia attacked the 2016 election. And we're being warned by those same intelligence folks that the attacks are continuing. So given that Trump doesn't seem to take the attack seriously, and even in 2016, he publicly encouraged it when he told Russia to find Hillary Clinton's emails. What are you able to do on the state level to protect the 2018 and 2020 elections here in North Carolina?
Well, I just as a comment on what you talked about, I find the president's behavior in a foreign country with the Russian leader to have been disgraceful. And I think he is, through his actions, undermining the health and strength of our democracy as it relates to elections administration. And so because of that, and for many months, I've been very concerned about elections security here in North Carolina. There are concerns that the Russians tried to access one of the vendors that has contracts with a number of counties in North Carolina. And so I represent the State Board of Elections, and we've been in close and regular contact about steps that they can take to enhance and secure our elections administration. And so they have been in regular talks with the Department of Homeland Security to try to identify what vulnerabilities, if any, exist in our election system, and then work on those vulnerabilities to harden them. And so I've been pleased by their focus. We've tried to be helpful when we can. Just this week, 21 attorneys general wrote to the U.S. Congress urging them to take action because if the president's not going to be serious about securing our elections administration and infrastructure, that the U.S. Congress needs to be. So hopefully Congress will take further action. We have work to do, but I do believe that everyone in North Carolina is focused on ensuring that our elections actually reflect the will of the people.
Now, I know Congress did allocate some money towards election security. It was, I believe, just off the top of my head, it was something around 500 million or something like that across the nation.
Yeah,
Do you have adequate
10 million.
resources?
The U.S. Congress appropriated money for states all across the country. North Carolina's share was $10 million, and it had to be leveraged with a $500,000 appropriation by the General Assembly, which they did. And so we have that money, and the money is going to be spent in 2018 and in 2019. And so we will see the full value of that investment in the 2020 elections, and we will only see part of it in 2018, unfortunately.
I see. And what does the money go towards? Like updating software, that kind of stuff?
Exactly. And
Okay.
by 2019, every county in the state has to have a paper record of the vote. Even if you use an electronic system, there has to be a paper record because there are some counties which are all electronic, and that's obviously concerning to everyone.
Well, now you mentioned you were disappointed in the president's response, but beyond the president, do you think that the right people are taking it seriously, especially here in North Carolina, and are they doing enough, do you think?
The folks at the State Board of Elections, the folks at the Department of Information Technology, my folks at the Department of Justice, we meet, we exchange ideas, we exchange information, and I think we're all focused on doing everything we can to ensure secure elections in November.
I see. And how confident are you that our elections will be secure?
Well, I am confident, although I can't provide an ironclad guarantee because these Russian hackers are brilliant. And so we're going to do everything possible to ensure nothing bad happens, but I can't provide a 100% ironclad guarantee, unfortunately.
Yeah, gotcha. Well, on the topic of Duke Energy and coal ash, you've appealed a
Yeah.
ruling by the State Utilities Commission allowing Duke Energy to charge consumers for coal ash cleanup, and you're hoping for a ruling, I guess, from the State Supreme Court striking down what the Utilities Commission said, and why is that?
You hit the nail on the head, Jeremy. What the Public Utilities Commission did was allow Duke to put into its rate the cost of cleaning up coal ash, and they put that all on the ratepayers. Ratepayers are you and me. We're the consumers. Anybody who has a power bill will have their bills affected by the coal ash cleanup. Now, my view is that as consumers, we have to pay of it because coal ash was a byproduct of producing energy, and we benefited from that energy. But here's where I diverge from the Public Utilities Commission. I believe, and the evidence shows, that Duke Energy knew that coal ash was toxic and failed to take adequate steps to remediate those risks when it should have. And had they done what they should have done, had they acted prudently, then the cost of cleaning up the coal ash would be substantially less than what it is today. And so I believe that ratepayers, you and I, should not have to pay for the mismanagement or mistakes of Duke Energy when they didn't act when they should have.
I see. Okay. And what's the process and the timeline of that? I mean, is that a direct appeal to the state Supreme Court already, or is there more that needs to be done?
That is what happens.
I see.
You file
Okay.
a notice of appeal to the Public Utilities Commission, then you do the formal appeal to the North Carolina Supreme Court. It goes straight to the Supreme Court, and we have to compile the record from the hearing so the Supreme Court has that when it considers the appeal. And that procedural work is happening now, and the decision will come in months to come.
I see. Yeah, and that's something that you can't necessarily predict, I assume, because the court kind of rules when they rule.
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay. Well, those are my questions. Is there anything we should talk about before I let you go?
No, Jeremy, I appreciate your interest.
Okay. Thank you so much, Attorney General Josh
Okay.
Stein. Appreciate it.